You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. I'm saying this super quick. This is presented by NBA 2K25. It is super quick. BJ has to run ASAP, but we thought we'd bring you another quick emergency episode as Jimmy Butler has finally, at
this
long last,
better be good, Mo, because you are disrupting date night. Okay.
Oh, I apologize to Mrs. Armstrong. Please send. I will send a bouquet of flowers tomorrow, B.
Please,
how about that?
This I'm is
send
for Miss Armstrong. She just walked in. She said, You better get up there and do an emergency podcast with Mo.
Yes.
So I just ran up here and here we are. So she said, you got 10 minutes.
See, you got a wife who understands the hustle. I got to find me one of them. But the Miami Heat are trading Jimmy Butler to the Golden State Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Carl Anderson, and a protected first round pick. As part of the deal, the Warriors' Lindy Hunter III and the Heat's Josh Richardson are headed to the Detroit Pistons. And Dennis Schroeder apparently will not be staying in Miami as the Utah Jazz are playing facilitator once again in this deal. Basically, headline, Jimmy Butler, Golden State Warriors, BJ Armstrong, you have 7 minutes to give me your thoughts.
Well, what comes to mind immediately is Joe Lacob, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, and Steph Curry. That's just, I don't know why that came to me, but that's my immediate reaction. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how this combination is going to work. I said this and I didn't know how this was going to play out, but this is the reset now. So now it's fair to say that this is not a league that values shooting anymore.
Because Jimmy Butler's not a great shooter.
Okay. Now that's what it's saying now. So Mo, I'm interested to see where this league goes now. So we know now that shooting is not the premium because they're making a move. And two out of their top, three guys are not shooters. They're not making this move, Mo, to get to the first round. So I'm all for it. So, Mo, I'm looking at a team mid-season. They're going to play a different brand of basketball. Clearly, they're going to redefine the roles of this team. Clearly, Steve Kerr and company and staff are going to tinker with the offense, the defense, and the schemes. They're not bringing Jimmy Butler there to be a role player. Hey, and the memo was sent. It's championship or bust. So, Mo, let's you and I figure out how to do this with no training camp. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know the style of play. I don't know the system of play. I don't know the roles
BJ,
of the team.
I hate to interrupt you, but with only a few minutes, we have to leave. We did not get online for you to sit here and say, I don't know. But one thing
What do you mean?
One thing I do know is okay. Jimmy Butler has agreed to a new 2-year, $121 million extension with the Golden State Warriors as part of this trade. He's got a bag. $121 mil for 2 more years?
Well, you know what? I take this back. Joe Lacob. That's all I can say. I got two words. Joe Lacob.
Expand on for the fans who don't know, that's the owner of the Golden State Warriors.
That's all I can say. That's all I can say. What do you want me to say?
Okay.
I'm telling you from the coaches, the player. All I can say now is Joe Lacob.
You're saying this was a deal done by the ownership because they want to compete, not a basketball deal.
Hey, this is the owner, Joe Lacob. That's all I can say. What else can I say? I can't say anything else. No coach is going to want to have this level of expectations placed on them with a trade like this at this stage of the season. And you're giving him an extension without even playing there, if that is true. Can you confirm that? Is that his?
Well, it's true according to Shams.
There you go. So who else has the authority to okay that?
Well, from my perspective, obviously without seeing anything, it doesn't move the needle for me. I'm not any more scared of the Golden State Warriors. They're just spending a little bit more money. The gap between Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins right now, I don't see a huge... Obviously, in the playoffs, if Jimmy Butler plays how he did a few years ago in the playoffs, that's a different story. But as it stands right now, I'm not moved by this in terms of, you know, the Golden State Warriors becoming a big threat in the Western Conference. Jimmy's averaging, what, 17 points a game, and he's 35 years old, turning 30. So you're going to be paying him $121 million for the next 2 years when he's 36 and 37.
Wow.
And you've given up Wiggins. And you've given up Wiggins, who was crucial playing defense in the NBA Finals last time you got there. You've given up Schroeder, who you traded for during the season. And you've given up Carl Anderson, who I thought was a good pickup for them, and a protected first-round pick. I don't know what the Warriors do. Well, I know what they're trying to do. I just don't see it.
What are they trying to do? Can you give me, what are they trying to do?
Like I said before, this is an NBA 2K trade. This is an amazing trade on 2K when the money's not real and it's all about the overall ratings and players' reputation.
Are we sure? Are we sure?
And we have a special guest joining us right now. Mr. Scott Perry is back in the house.
Oh, man. Okay. Scott, I need to, this is the 2 minutes. This is 2 minutes. I can't believe this. I can't believe, no. There's no way you can tell me that they've already agreed to a two-year extension.
Yeah, 2 years, $121 million.
Scott, I literally have 30 seconds. What is going on in the NBA, Scott? What is going on? Scott, I mean, how can you agree to an extension and he hasn't even played a game there yet?
Oh, he's agreed to the extension already? They've done that.
That's what Shams reported?
What, he's reported that he's agreed to the extension.
$121 million for 2 years.
Wow. And it was interesting because the report was the deal was off before because he wouldn't agree to it. Mm. Well, what that leads me to believe that Jimmy Butler learned a lesson quick, that his market wasn't as robust as what he thought it was, and he better take the first offer he could get. And he's lucky that it's an organization like Golden State with a – you know, class act like Steph Curry and a team that can win. But I agree with you, BJ. It's a, you know, there's risk involved because you haven't had the guy in your locker room and you know this guy, Jimmy Butler, has been volatile at other stops he's been.
I don't know if him and Draymond are going to be friends.
Yeah, I agree. Scott,
I got two words. Joe Lacob. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. And I will be tuned in to see how this plays out. Now, I have to go to date night because my GM has summoned me.
BJ, you better buy into your role into the culture before you get on the trade block too.
I bought into the role, and I know my role is to show up, you know, and that's my role. So,
BJ, you got to make sure your team option gets picked up.
Exactly.
You might end up on the free agency market like me.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
No, BJ, he don't want the option picked up. He's looking for an extension. Exactly. He's looking for an extension. You know, option is just picking up that last year. He's looking for an extension.
You gentlemen have fun.
Appreciate you, BJ. Appreciate it.
Scott,
I appreciate you out. Scott was out at dinner. He was at a restaurant.
Yes.
And you know he's rushed home because he's not even wearing a blazer.
This is the first time I've been without a blazer on this show. I said, because I'm running, put a blazer on. I said, no, that wouldn't be as authentic. You know, hey, I'm just coming in.
Right from the car to
the set. Exactly.
I respect it, Scott. I appreciate you. You know, I was just in bed playing some NBA 2K. My phone went off with this notification. I called BJ straight away. I called Scott straight away. I got my computer. I got to my office. And here we are. This is turning into a multi-team deal because the Toronto Raptors are getting Kyle Anderson out of this. Dennis Schroeder is headed to the Utah Jazz. Josh Richardson and Lindy Waters III are headed to the Detroit Pistons. So this is what a five-team deal now.
Oh, wow.
Scott, with a deal of this magnitude, it's not until they put the trade call in with the league office, the deal is not done, right? So
Correct. You know, it's not official until that.
And it's like 99% done. However, with five teams being involved now, is there a chance that someone has pulled, could potentially pull the plug and other teams would have to get involved or they'd have to rework it?
Is that possible? Yes. But it's not a normal occurrence because when you give your word to a team that you're in on this particular deal, whatever your role or part in this deal is, and for you then to go back and backtrack on it, that's not good for business. You know, we talked about this yesterday. It's a finite group of teams that you are working with. There has to be some level of trust and follow through on your word and commitment when you're involved in these trades, because there's so much that are hanging on to it. You know, obviously, the big players in this deal are the Miami Heat and the Golden State Warriors. Everybody else is, and I hate to put it this way, but it's kind of secondary in this deal, but they're getting something they want. They're helping making this deal. They jumped into it because they think there's something they can glean from it,
well,
even if it's just a single.
I feel bad for the Miami Heat fans. You've traded the cornerstone of your franchise for PJ Tucker, Andrew Wiggins, and a protected first-round pick. This is not the return that they'd hoped for. Just a year ago, they were dreaming about Dame and Jimmy Butler teaming up in Miami. Now, PJ Tucker and Andrew Wiggins are teaming up in Miami. That's a pretty tough break. How do you look at this deal from a Miami perspective? Because, you know, Pat Riley has the reputation of being this amazing GM. However, it seems that he was almost strong-armed into this deal by Jimmy Butler's antics and the trade deadline creeping up and him not wanting to keep this saga going for the rest of the season.
Yes. Yeah, and you touched on the points there, Mo. The problem in this situation is, first of all, you got an aging player. And you've heard me say this before. You know, Jimmy Butler is an excellent NBA player, but he's going on 36 years old. He has a background of having issues with organizations going back to Chicago and Minnesota in particular, where he kind of forced his way out of those situations. Now he grew unhappy in Miami. So that, and I told you this, I think a couple of weeks ago, that puts teams on notice. And that right there, when those activities are going on, that lowers the value in the marketplace of a player like that. That if he didn't have those issues, they probably would have been able to get more. And then it also speaks to the situation about when people are talking about shopping deals. See, when you get in that position where you, it's known that you're having to move a player and shop a player, or you're motivated to do it because he's unhappy, again, you're going to get a lesser offer. So I'm sure with Miami, what you got to trust in Pat Riley and that group is they got the very best that they felt that he could get at this juncture. They wanted to get rid of the circus atmosphere right now, get off of all of the drama, move forward to this year. You know, Andrew Wiggins is a solid professional player. No, he has not as accomplished as Jimmy Butler, but it also sets him up. And I know, but I think Andrew has some money in 26, 27, because I know Miami, one of the things they wanted to be able to do is have some cap space come the summer of 26, because people anticipate that being
he has
free agent year
this year, and then 2 years left on his contract is a player option in the final year. Next year he's over $28 million, and it's a $30 million dollar player option, which he'd be 31 by then. He might turn that down and try and get a longer term deal on the market.
He could, and he'll still have value around the league too. So Miami, you know, depending upon how it works out for him in Miami, you know, he becomes a player on a shorter deal that you could utilize to improve your roster that way.
Yeah, the pick sent out by the Warriors to the Heat is top 10 protected. And if I believe it's top 10 protected, and then if it doesn't convey, it's also top 10 protected in 2026. And if it doesn't convey then, it will be an unprotected 2027 first round pick, which could prove to be pretty valuable.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. No. So they got a very solid pick back. I mean, like I said, when you weigh the whole deal, you get, because look, Jimmy Butler has not been really contributing to anything. The Miami Heat this season.
No, not at all.
So you're getting that out of the door. Now, it has nothing to do with what he had done in the past. And I know he did very well here in Miami. And I'm sure Miami's appreciative of it. The community is appreciative of it. But for whatever the reason, the relationship broke down. You move on. You move on from Jimmy. Let Jimmy go ahead and continue his career and his life somewhere else. So now he goes to Golden State. He can pick up those pieces there. And if you're Miami, getting PJ Tucker, and so they're not holding on to either Schroeder or
Schroeder goes to the Jazz, Anderson goes to the Raptors, so Lindy Wars and Josh Richardson to the Pistons.
So they're getting PJ and Wiggins. So what you get in those two guys? Look, Wiggins has a championship under his belt. PJ Tucker has an immense amount. PJ Tucker,
he's played for the Heat before.
He's played for the Heat before, but he has an immense amount of playoff experience. So you're going to get two guys who are veteran who are going to come play hard every night.
And PJ's an expiring deal for $11.5 million.
And they're quickly going to, fit into quote unquote the Heat culture that we talk about all the time. And so they incrementally got a little better. Considering, obviously they're not in the position of, they won't, I don't view them as a top four team in the Eastern Conference, but we've watched this Miami organization before with Jimmy Butler and a lot of undrafted and late second round picks a few years back go all the way to the NBA Finals. So, there still will be a tough out adding these veteran players who are very capable and versatile defensively as well, too. So,
okay, let's break this down now from a basketball perspective. For the Golden State Warriors, adding Jimmy Butler to this team isn't the typical kind of Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, kind of second scorer, or KD, I guess, was the first scorer, but they have over there in a system. And even Wiggins was more of a 3-and-D guy that they had. Jimmy Butler kind of needs the ball in his hands to create a bit more. He could be somewhat of a slasher. How do you see this working for the Warriors? Does this, in your estimations, for me, it doesn't take them out of the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. Unless they find lightning in a bottle for the playoff run.
I tend to agree with that. One thing, though, when you start talking about great players and you talk about Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler is an excellent NBA player. Obviously, Draymond Green has a very high basketball IQ and a rich history in the NBA and very successful player. Normally, if guys have the will, they can figure out how to play together. Again, it won't be the same style as the Klay Thompson because, look, Jimmy Butler's never been a catch-and-shoot guy from three. And he's, but he can move without the basketball. I expect, the Warriors do a very good job of moving the basketball and passing the basketball. They're one of the better teams at that on the offensive end. So I think they can get him ingratiated into that, get him in a lot of movements, whether it be coming off screens or after swings, being able to attack closeouts off the dribble and the would play to his strength. So that part, Steve Kerr and company, and along with the players I just mentioned, will figure that out. And he obviously brings a level of toughness on the perimeter defensively that will be is greatly needed, as you and I know, and can be very helpful to the team. But yeah, I agree. I don't see this move taking them up to the position where they're going to really threaten OKC, Dallas Mavericks, Houston Rockets, even Memphis. The Los Angeles Lakers, Memphis. And I the Lakers, they just picked up Luka. We haven't seen him play there with the group yet, But LeBron has been playing really well. The group seems really rejuvenated right
And by the
now.
way, all those reports about Luka being 270 pounds, I saw the videos from practice today. That man's in shape. He's not
Is he
270
safe?
pounds. He's looking skinnier than I've ever seen before. So I don't know what he did on the flight. Maybe they had an Ozempic on the airplane, but he's in shape. Okay.
Well, I tell you what, being and living in LA too, if he doesn't get in shape there, he'll never get in shape, you know? So
Hey, Scott,
that's
I've been in LA
that
enough. You've got
play,
to look on
you've
point.
been LA to know exactly. So yeah, so Luka may be getting on the not the South Beach diet, that's down here in Florida, but the Santa Monica diet or whatever you want to call it in LA. But they're gonna be formidable as well because you've got two, you know, all-time great players on the same team. And again, as I just mentioned, I believe they will figure out a way eventually how to play together, regardless of the fact that they have similar skill sets. Yet, again, great players tend to figure out how to play off of one another.
Jimmy Butler, I'm sure, will figure out a way to play with the Warriors. Steve Kerr's gonna have his workout out mid-season to try and figure that out. But defensively, like you said, if he's locked in, how we know he can lock in, him and Draymond, either they can be a really good defense, or either they're just going to start a crazy fight and get suspended for the rest of the year. It could
No
go one
question.
of two ways.
He ha he has to be engaged. I think, you know, at leaving Miami like he's left right now, and he wants to kind of clean up his reputation, if you will. He's got to come in there and give it his best and do what we know Jimmy Butler can do, and that's defend, compete, and provide for that team some additional scoring as well.
Well, there is one team that this trade impacts. All day yesterday, people were talking about Kevin Durant of the Phoenix Suns going to Golden State. And then when the reports came out that KD didn't want to go back to the Warriors, they said that Kevin Durant may be going to Miami for Jimmy Butler. But it looks like the Phoenix Suns, ironically being based in a desert, have been left out in the cold. And they're kind of stuck with their team now, as it were. Do you still see any potential moves being available for the Phoenix Suns to shake things up? Or do you think now this kind of closes the chapter and they're just gonna have to, I guess, roll with it?
My guess there, you know, and I don't know the teams that are doing this right now, but I'm sure there's a few more teams that are placing calls in on Kevin Durant and figuring out if they can get him. But as I sit here today, I doubt that something comes up that way, and I could see him ending up back in Phoenix. I would expect if that does happen, he ends up back in Phoenix. I don't expect his play to be impacted or affected by the trade talk, or that the people have been having talks about him. Because my assumption would be Phoenix internally has been discussing that with him anyway. Because how else does it come out that he doesn't want to go back to Golden State, and then Golden State backs out? You know, so you got to assume that. So, you know, Phoenix may be looking at, what do we do when the season is over and going into the summer? And that probably would be the most prudent thing for them to do right now and not jump into something really rushed. Play the rest of the season out. Maybe they catch lightning in a bottle and win a series or two in the playoffs, because again, you got three all-star players on the team. And if you don't, then you go into the offseason where you really have time to figure out a good place for him and what you can add to your roster. And when the summer comes around, maybe Bradley Beal softens his stance in terms of exercising his ability to waive the no trade clause in his contract. So.
You know what I find crazy? It's the NBA trade deadline, yet the best deal Pat Riley made this week was selling his trademarks to the NFL because he owned the trademark for 3-peat.
Exactly.
For the Heat fans, they end up with Wiggins and PJ Tucker and a first round pick that may convey in 2027. Or more likely will be a late lottery or even not in the lottery pick in 26 or 25. But we will see. We will be back later on today with a trade deadline episode. Scott, I appreciate you rushing home from dinner. We
Yes,
just wanted to
hey.
bring you an instant and immediate reaction. you know, if you want to hear more, then stay locked in because we've got another episode coming where we will review all of the deals, because there are some people saying that this is just the first domino to fall and there may be more trades on the way. So
don't be surprised. I expect more trades to
so
occur.
So we've got 14 hours left until the trade deadline.
Yes.
What's the over and under on how much sleep I get before then?
Mo, you probably, in the next 3 hours, there probably will be another trade. Now, I don't know how big that will be, but I just, you know, goes back to my time working in front offices for 24 years. A night like tonight, I probably was going to bed the earliest 2 a.m. That was the earliest.
And you're keeping your phone probably right next to you.
And exactly. That would be the earliest 2 a.m., but more likely 3 or 4, and then you're back up at 7 a.m. the next day because the deadline's at 3 p.m. Eastern. So not a lot of sleep going on at this time. And it obviously depends on how far down the road you may be with the deal. You know, I've been part of trade deadlines that, you know, unless we get at this stage that we were going to stand pat. So unless we got some kind of crazy call that we had to entertain, you know, we were a little more relaxed at this point. But what ends up happening too, and this is the last thing I'll leave you with for tonight, Mo, and that's why I think there'll be some kind of deal. When this activity starts, the funny thing, and some owners, you know, they get really juiced up behind this. What are we going to do? You know, and people feel compelled to do something to make it feel like we're doing a deal to get our team better. And sometimes it's just not something good enough or available for you to do. But because everybody else is doing something, you feel compelled that we got to do, you know, either it's a small deal to get a second round pick or swap picks or something like that, so that we're working and keeping busy during the trade deadline.
And I think it's interesting for some owners because, you know, if the owners are more casual fans, they might see Jimmy Butler join the Warriors and think it's a huge earth-shattering move that makes the Warriors the favorites in the West. But going back to the question I asked you originally about this deal potentially falling through, the Toronto portion of this deal has now fallen through. Miami is working on a resolution with Carl Anderson. He could stay or still be moved to another team that could get involved in this. Do you see them continuing to work out this deal right up until the deadline, or will they try and close this ASAP?
Oh, you want to try to close it ASAP because you don't want to think, you don't want something hanging out there that, you know, that would cause this thing to cave in. But the fact that if Miami can take Kyle Anderson and is willing to take Kyle Anderson in the deal, and the deal still works, because I haven't been able to look at it on my little trade machine and all, but assuming that that works, then I believe it'll go through. There must be a reason why Miami would prefer to have Kyle Anderson go elsewhere. I'm sure it's more cap purposes and not just having his salary on board. What is Kyle Anderson? I don't have, and I apologize because I'm just running in from dinner. Don't have his salary in front of me.
You do not need to apologize for that, Scott.
Exactly.
He's making what, 9 million, 10 million? Let me put it.
Okay.
Okay, he's making 8.8 million this season, 9 million next season, and 9.5 million the season after.
Yeah.
No
team
so player option.
Yeah, so they're already figuring that, you know, they may have to hold on to Andrew Wiggins in his contract going out that same length of time. So that extra 10 million makes a difference, you know, on your books, essentially. So
I'm sure Carl Anderson, on the contract he's on, there are a lot of teams that would even trade for him in a separate transaction.
I agree with that. I would agree with that. I don't know what his number does to Miami in terms of a tax situation. I haven't looked at that as well. I don't think that they're in danger of being in the luxury tax.
And there's no, with these deals that get made, there is no restriction. Sometimes deals get made with players, you know, when they sign as free agents or whatever, they can't be traded for a certain amount of time. But these trade deadline deals, these players can still be flipped and sent elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
After the deadline. I remember the Celtics got Isaiah Thomas at the deadline, there was like Austin Rivers and Jameer Nelson and Mark Staunton, 101 different guys got traded to the Celtics and somewhere else and then somewhere else and then someone else. So stay locked in, guys. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We're bringing you instant reactions. I interrupted these two gentlemen's evenings to bring you this. Scott, I speak on behalf of all of our listeners when I say we appreciate you greatly.
Oh, man, I appreciate being on here with you, Mo, and I appreciate all the listeners. And this is why the Hoop Genius podcast is a much watch and a much listen each and every day if you want to know the real when it comes to NBA basketball.
That's a fact. Scotty, you got to hit him with the outro now. You got to hit him with the outro.
Yeah, I can hit the outro. And until tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Today.
You're right. You're right, because I'm your time. And later today, until that time, get buckets.